This session is called How to Manage Anger. Fear and aggression, two strong partners that life has so kindly provided us since the time when our ancestors put down their bone tools in times of peace and some mammoth was still a common dinner. Nature packed these features with the best of intentions to protect us from danger and ensure our ability to survive in a world full of dangerous beasts, hostile tribes, and other pitfalls. Kind of like getting a fire extinguisher for your car. You hope you never need it, but you're glad you have it just in case. Yes, our judges meant well. But let's face it, they weren't looking too far ahead. They didn't know that one day, their carefully orchestrated survival system could turn against us. Fear and aggression, once the basic building blocks of self-preservation, seem more of a liability in the modern world. Often, the rescue mechanism is triggered at the wrong moment. Like when someone puts a trolley in front of you in the supermarket aisle, or when a colleague at work fails to return your pen. And so we ask, does it have to be this way? Do fear and aggression really have to control us so much that we lose control? Maybe the situation could be resolved differently. Maybe we just need to understand these emotions a little bit and stop letting them mindlessly take over. Let's look at aggression. It didn't come about to argue on Facebook or shout at the driver in front of us when he can't turn fast enough. Aggression is originally a defense mechanism. It serves to protect ourselves, our loved ones, and everything we hold dear. When a mother monkey stands in the way of a predator to protect her young, it's exactly the kind of aggression we should be proud of. And let's face it, when the going gets tough, aggression can save our necks. But today, it's no longer about fighting a tiger in the jungle, and even though we have the internet, not the bone tools, our basic instincts still work. But, and here comes the point, most situations today do not require us to act like angry, saber-toothed tigers. Fear and aggression are sometimes like a poorly programmed alarm. They go off even if someone accidentally kicks a flower pot in front of your house. In moments when we have time to assess the situation, calm is in order. Yes, calm is a bit of a magic word, even if we sometimes don't like it very much. That's because calm usually comes after we've been trying hard or going through internal conflicts. When we talk about peace, we must not forget one important topic, because on the other side of the aggression spectrum is not peace and tranquility, as it might seem, but often unhealthy submissiveness. You know that feeling when you are trying to please everyone around you, but forgetting yourself? A typical example is the mother who sacrifices herself for the whole world. Eventually, she's so exhausted that she turns the aggression on herself. She's angry with herself, her body even hurts, and she feels useless. And she often forgets the calm that could help her find balance and figure out what she really wants. The path to peace and balance does not have to be complicated. We all have different ways of getting to well-being. Some people run marathons, others plant tulips in the garden, or watch a documentary about the life of seals. The key is to find an activity that allows us to switch off and look at our lives with perspective, whether it's meditation, sport, baking a chocolate roll, or even writing a funny family chronicle. Humor helps too, even in dealing with aggression, whether from a shouting colleague or disobedient children. If you decide to dig into your aggression and fear and learn more about them, a little challenge might help. Try asking yourself a few simple questions. Why do I feel so threatened in this situation? What do I need to protect? Am I sure I need to react impulsively right now? What will reliably make me angry? And what is the next reaction? Are there activities that I perform with anger and disgust? Do I really need to do them? And if so, is there anything I can do to change them, limit them, organize them differently, or at least change my attitude, relax, reward myself? What can calm me down, at least in most cases? Do I engage in such activities regularly? How often do I show kindness? Do I behave kindly to others, but also to myself? Just as we experience anger, we also experience fear. It is quite natural. Fear is like a little inner sentinel that stands guard against potential threats. We are all afraid. Me, you, your neighbor, even your cat sometimes gets scared of the vacuum cleaner and sprints under the couch like an Olympic sprinter. But what would we be without fear? Without it, we'd probably often forget that we really shouldn't walk too close to the edge of a cliff, and that sticking a fork in a drawer isn't exactly a brilliant idea. Yes, fear is one of our basic survival mechanisms. It's an old friend of evolution, and without it, we probably wouldn't have lasted long in prehistoric times. But like anybody, fear can sometimes get on our nerves, annoy us, and tend to jump into our lives more than we'd like. The mere fact that fear exists does not mean that we can simply get rid of it. We can't put it in a closet, stomp it away like a dead leaf on an autumn tree, and move on as if nothing had happened. No, fear doesn't work by waving a magic wand and disappearing in a puff of smoke. On the contrary, the more we try to suppress it, the more it reminds us of its presence. It's like ignoring a text message from your mother, who keeps bombarding you with questions about whether you've eaten and whether you've brought a warm sweater. It's no wonder fear is so easy to capitalize on and even easier to manipulate. People who use fear as a means to gain power know that emotions, especially negative ones, are very easy to manipulate. That is why there is so much bad news around us. Have you been afraid of anything today? Have you? Just turn on the evening news and the world will immediately remind you of all that can or can't go wrong. But you know what? It's very human to be afraid. There's nothing wrong with it. You don't have to be ashamed of the fact that you get scared from time to time, that you can't help but feel a twinge of anxiety when a bill comes in, or when you feel like your relationship is creaking somewhere. In fact, it's precisely because fear is so much a part of all of us that it's important to recognize it. To look him in the eye, sit him down on the couch, give him tea, metaphorically speaking, and find out what he really wants to tell us. The better we understand fear, the less power it will have over us. Therefore, our goal should not be to destroy fear. That would be like trying to disable a car alarm with a hammer. It may sound like a solution, but the damage afterwards is considerable. Instead, let's try to stop being afraid. Really, no fear of fear. Do you remember what it was like when we were little? Fear liked to indulge in simple pleasures. We were afraid of the dark because who knows what might be hiding in it. We were afraid to leave Mom's hand because Mom was synonymous with safety. But gradually we realized that even Mom couldn't do everything, like chase away a booger under the bed or explain a complicated math homework assignment. As we got older, our fears changed. We worried about whether someone really loved us, whether we could handle our job responsibilities, whether we could protect our family. These fears are changing and growing up just like us. But as we know, some of them aren't even real. How many times have we feared something only to find out in the end that the situation wasn't worth our nerves at all? Most of our disaster scenarios don't come true, and when they do, we usually find that the reality is different than we painted it. Maybe neither better nor worse, just different. But fear holds us back. It limits our creativity, our joy, and our willingness to try and experience something new. And yet, we often regret more of the things we didn't do than the things we embarked on and perhaps failed at. In order to work with fear, we have to stop demonizing it. Let's explore it curiously instead. What were we afraid of as children? How did we overcome these fears? Let's name them and look at them from a distance. How did they shape us? What things that we now take for granted would once have seemed threatening to us? Fear is in many ways like a little gift. Normally, it's not very nice, but when we look inside it, we may find that it brings us something. For example, it motivates us, teaching us to focus on what's important, like our health, our boundaries, or our dreams. What are we afraid of today? What would happen if we overcame that fear? What would we gain? What patterns of behavior are we repeating because of fear? We all have the right to follow what makes sense to us. Yes, fear will hold you back, but only you decide whether to give in to it. In short, remind yourself, life is not about not being afraid. Life is about what you do with it. Hello, this is anger. Sometimes we feel that our emotions control us like a puppet master with his wooden actor. We're tired, angry, sad, and feel like there's not much we can do about it. But friends, that's a mistake. Even if we can't erase all those crazy bosses, the lines at the supermarket, or the kids' early morning trips to Mount Dressme every Monday, we still have at least partial control over how we handle our emotions. Yes, really. Even if it seems impossible at times. Emotions are not random like numbers in sports. They have a story. They often form patterns based on our past experiences. For example, the last time your mother-in-law told you at dinner that the soup you cooked had an interesting flair, you may have saved it as code for, "Please don't ever cook for me again." And now, similar comments cause wild waves of emotion in your stomach. Or if you were once afraid of speaking in front of a class and now feel a similar fear at every presentation at work. But the problem is that many of us don't work with these emotional templates at all. We let them build up and ferment. Yet, at the very moment when emotions are riding us like a tank, we should hit the red button and stop. Seriously, stop. Not to fight it now, not to suppress it, not to shrug it off and cover it with a bar of chocolate. Stop for a moment and ask yourself, what the hell do I feel? You may find that the anger that is suddenly boiling up inside you is not actually from today, but is months or years old. Or that the sadness that paralyzed you at the sight of the happy couple in the cafe had nothing to do with the fact that they brought you cold coffee. And now comes the scientific phase of research. Try to start asking yourself, how does this feeling affect my body? Does my stomach ache, my throat tighten, or do I feel like I'm going to explode like an armed grenade? What does this feeling actually come from? Does it remind me of something from the past? And what did I do then in a similar situation and how did it turn out? Wasn't there something that helped me then? And if not, what could help me today? Do you have feelings of anger? Ask yourself what that anger is actually trying to teach you. Maybe it's a signal that you haven't given up on your needs. Sadness? Maybe a cry for attention to allow yourself to finally let go of something. Fear? Probably a defense mechanism that wants to warn you about something you're afraid of. But that doesn't mean you should immediately pull down your sweatpants and run away. And no, it wouldn't be fair to say it's a simple process. But it is a process by which we can become more experienced and more confident in relation to our own feelings. When we start writing down our findings somewhere, you gradually start to find your way around the whirlwind of feelings. And you know what the best part is? In time, you'll find that emotions are not your enemy, but actually a great information system. Now, a little perspective, please. Emotions don't need to be disposed of. Emotions need to be expressed, but in a way that doesn't chew you up and spit you out like a 100-year-old piece of gum under a school desk. If you're feeling angry, there's no need to sprinkle scientific interpretation through your coffee mug just because a colleague said something inappropriate. If you're sad, it doesn't mean the world should automatically get an invitation to your session of compassionate debate with my inner despairer. We're looking for productive avenues. Ones that will constructively divert your emotional tsunami before it damages the harbor, yours or those around you. Let's dive into practical part. Everyone has difficult moments when they feel under pressure or lose control. When these feelings come, it's good to have a few simple techniques that can help you calm down quickly. Here are some proven methods you can try. Controlled breathing. One of the most effective methods to calm yourself is to focus on your breathing. Sit down or lie down in a quiet place. Slowly breathe in through your nose for 4 seconds. Hold your breath for another 4 seconds. Then exhale through your mouth again for 4 seconds. Repeat this cycle at least 5 times, slowly, knowing that each inhalation brings calm and each exhalation releases tension. Perception of contact with the surface. If you feel disconnected, try to become aware of where you are. Sit or lie down, or just stand barefoot so that you feel your body contacting the surface. Concentrate on the feeling, the stability and support that these places give you. Try to be present, aware of what surrounds you. This exercise can help you take back your sense of control. Paying attention to the surroundings. Focusing on your surroundings can be an effective way to bring yourself back to the present. And yes, put away the phone here. Look around you and notice the details. What do you see? What colors, shapes, or objects catch your eye? Close your eyes for a moment and then open them again. Check what has changed in the rooms around you. This step will remind you again that you have space and control over your surroundings. A mindfulness test also works well. Close your eyes and say to yourself, "What objects are blue here?" Try maybe 2 more colors. Answer and try to recall as many objects of that color as possible. Short physical activity. Sometimes the best way to release tension is through movement. Take a short walk and focus on what surrounds you, the sounds, smells, and nature. Feel every step. If you don't have time to walk, do some stretching exercises or dance to your favorite song. Release of emotions. When strong emotions build up, it is important to release them somehow. Find a pillow and shout out what you need. Remember that it is normal to feel anger or frustration. Alternatively, you can take a piece of paper and write down what you are feeling. You can then tear or burn the paper as a symbol of release. Stay connected. Don't leave your feelings alone. Keep in regular contact with people you trust. Talk to loved ones or friends about what you are experiencing. Sharing your feelings can greatly ease the burden you are carrying. Normalize your feelings. Finally, remember that all the emotions you are going through are normal. Learn to recognize and experience them. When strong emotions come up, don't be ashamed of them. Try to tell yourself, "It's okay to feel what I feel. It's also part of my journey."